Welcome to Storytime with Chava. Today's story is taken from the book The Third Judge and is entitled Miracle in Petersburg. The month of Elul was drawing to a close. A feeling of tshuva had permeated Lubavitch for 30 days, prompting everyone to work on his spiritual service, his avodah. More Tehillim, more tzedakah, more learning Torah. By the end of the month, these preparations had reached their climax. The setting sun signaled the beginning of a new year, a time when the Creator Hashem sits in judgment and decides the affairs of every individual. Thousands of Hasidim poured into the village of Lubavitch, eager to spend Rosh Hashanah with their Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. They crammed into the Rebbe's shul, filling the huge interior until not an empty inch remained. A hush fell on the room as the Tzemach Tzedek entered. A path miraculously appeared between the thousands assembled in the shul. The Rebbe made his way to his place, and the evening prayer began. It was an unusual Ma'ariv. The Tzemach Tzedek appeared worried. His prayers were imbued with extraordinary fervor, if it were possible, more fervent than an ordinary Rosh Hashanah. Fear and dread gripped every heart. They realized this was the time when the angels tremble, terror seizes them, and they exclaim, "The day of judgment is here." The Hasidim increased their concentration, desperately trying to arouse divine mercy that Hashem should have Rachmanis. Everyone felt that something unusual was in the air. That night, after davening, the Rebbe joined his family for the Yom Tov Suda. Though the Chabad leaders would generally minimize all talk in Rosh Hashanah, the Tzemach Tzedek had made it a point to speak during the Rosh Hashanah meal. He discussed current events in the capital, the names and ranks of different ministers, and the political situation in general. Rabbi Yehuda Leib, one of the Rebbe's sons, was wont to remark, "He is performing Baal Shem Tov-like wonders in Petersburg right now." And this year was no different. The Tzemach Tzedek related all the goings-on in the capital and focused on certain ministers and their roles. In fact, he seemed more specific this year than in other years. His sons listened quietly as they always did, taking notice of the Rebbe's particular interest in the events. The day of Rosh Hashanah dawned, and throngs of Hasidim streamed towards the Rebbe's shul. Again, the Rebbe's davening seemed permeated with unusual emotion. After the morning prayer and the Torah reading, all prepared themselves for the great mitzvah of hearing the Shofar. A feeling of awe enveloped the large shul as the sons of the Tzemach Tzedek took their places around the bima, each in his designated place. The Tzemach Tzedek finished his preparations for the mitzvah, readying himself to sound the Shofar. His face burned brightly as he sang softly to himself. His eyes closed in deep concentration. Suddenly, his voice resonated throughout the shul as he began the introductory psalm. Oy gvald, serze, lam natseach. Whoa, my heart. And he started saying the kapitel. Panic gripped the congregation. Tears flowed from every eye. No doubt there was some evil decree, a gezerah, that was prompting the Rebbe's unusual outburst. And a great crying filled the shul. Every heart was open, raw, and receptive. The congregation recited the tefillah 7 times as required, and the Rebbe began blowing the shofar. Meanwhile, far away in Petersburg, Minister Suvarin, minister of the capital, studied his reflection in the ornate mirror gracing the walls of the Tsar's antechamber. He was waiting somewhat impatiently for his scheduled appointment with His Majesty. In his hand lay the document, the one in which he had invested so much work. It concerned the great rabbi, called the Lubavitcher Rebbe. A flicker of annoyance crossed his face. It was intolerable that a rabbi should have all that power from all his followers and students spread across White Russia. His power lay in his choice of residence. Lubavitch was a small village far away from prying eyes and government informers. Well, no longer. The rabbi would now be forced to move to the grand cities of Petersburg or Kiev. His followers would think twice before visiting their rabbi in such a large city. They would be easily followed, easily questioned, and easily inspected. He had the official document in his hand now. Only the Tsar's signature was missing. Minister Suvarin crossed the magnificent antechamber and stared pensively out the window. A fair portion of Petersburg was visible from here. There had been some trouble lately. Anger was brewing among the populace, and he was mostly to blame. Two new decrees had made the residents pretty angry, but they were just a mob of common folk anyway. After all, his intentions had been pure. He turned away from the window and paced the room, smiling as he recalled the new decrees. No smoking was allowed on city streets, although cigarette butts littering the city streets were untidy, and no more meat would be sold within the city. Whoever wanted meat needed to travel outside the city and buy it there. No longer would the beautiful capital reek of the stench of rotting flesh. He, Minister Suverin, would make Petersburg the most beautiful capital in the world. A servant entered the antechamber and bowed. "Minister," he said, "His Majesty will see you now." He straightened his uniform and followed the servant, sweating forming on his forehead. He entered the dazzling audience chamber and bowed low before the Tsar. The Tsar was in a foul mood. "What's new in the city?" he asked. "No news," responded the minister. "All is well." The Tsar stared at him savagely. "I have some news," he hissed between clenched teeth. "You pass new decrees banning the sale of meat and the use of cigarettes on city streets. The people are angry. The decrees are unbearable."
I did it for the good of the city," stammered the minister. "Our streets will not be dirtied by cigarette butts, and the smell of meat will not..."
"Idiot!" roared the Tsar. He tore the document out of the minister's hand and hurled it angrily on the floor. The minister turned white with fear, bowed low, and quickly left the audience chamber. The minister stood once again in the antechamber, his mind whirling with confused thoughts. His dream had been shattered. Gone was his goal of restraining the great rabbi. For such was the accepted law in the Tsar's palace. Any document that had been thrown away by the Tsar was automatically negated and was forbidden to be presented. His plan had been shattered. The rabbi would stay in the village of Lubavitch after all. Far, far away in the village of Lubavitch, the Tzemach Tzedek concluded blowing the shofar. He returned to his place, and the congregation began the Musaf prayer.